There are times when you worship and you hear words like we just sang, and your heart just cannot contain the fullness of it. This marvelous, wonderful promise that we have in Christ of righteousness, a righteousness that declares us righteous. And that same truth envelops us and enfolds us again this morning as we worship. And it's our delight now also to turn God's word, because we've been declared such as those who are known by the Father. I invite you to open a Bible this morning to Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 8. We're beginning a new series this morning on prayer. And as part of a new series, what we're going to do before every sermon, every message, is we're going to actually go to a great confessional source. Heidelberg Catechism is one of them. We have the Belgic Confession and the Canons of Dort as well. But the Heidelberg Catechism, which is immensely personal, invites us to reflect on the breadth of our faith in Jesus Christ. And not only that we've been declared righteous, but throughout the Catechism we find many question and answers that simply just invite us to enter into this walk of faith with Jesus. And as we look at the Lord's Prayer, and the Heidelberg Catechism calls us to reflect on that well, and I invite you to just to follow along and read the answer. I'll read the question for question and answers 116 to 119 this morning. Why do Christians need to pray? Because prayer is the most important part of the thankfulness God requires of us. And also because God gives His grace and Holy Spirit only to those who pray continually and groan inwardly, asking God for these gifts and thanking Him for them. And how does God want us to pray so that He will listen to us? First, we must pray from the heart to no other than the one true God who has revealed Himself in His Word, asking for everything He has commanded us to ask for. Second, we must acknowledge our need and misery, hiding nothing, and humble ourselves in His majestic presence. Third, we must rest on this unshakable foundation. Even though we do not deserve it, God will surely listen to our prayer because of Christ our Lord. That is what He promised us in His Word. And what did God command us to pray for? Everything we need, spiritually and physically, as embraced in the prayer Christ our Lord Himself taught us. And what is this prayer? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So we're going to look at the Lord's Prayer throughout today and upcoming Sundays, being reminded again of the glorious truth that Jesus has taught us what to pray. The Lord's Prayer is actually less than 100 words long. And yet in it, Jesus does teach us what those who are in Christ need to do. And that is, we are to be people who pray. Now, let's just deal with the uncomfortable thing for just a moment. And let's just acknowledge that for all the accessibility that Jesus gives us in this prayer, and for all the opportunity in the simplicity of it, we often struggle to be praying people. We often struggle to do what we've just professed together, and that is to pray. I mean, I have people in my life I admire for their what I call superstar prayer life, though they would shed that heart in a heartbeat, that terrible title, but they're just great prayers. And I could say in my own heart, I wish I was like that. Because if somebody were to ask us, and I know I've asked some of you in my time here at Heritage as pastor, how's your prayer life going? And I'll tell you, to a T, right away, three things happen. One, your eyes look down. Two, you say, well. And three, I know it could be better. Most of us, if we're honest about this, will say just that. And I would say at the start of the series, whenever we talk about prayer, and I'll mention this, the problem about talking about prayer is you end up talking about prayer and not actually praying. But the goal of this series is not to make you feel more guilty or to add any guilt to prayer life. Jesus certainly doesn't do that in our text this morning. What we need to embrace is just what Jesus invites us to embrace. He calls us. He says to us, come and pray. Come and speak to the Father. Come enjoy the relationship that His righteousness has restored for us. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. But we're going to look particularly, starting next Sunday, what we should pray. But as we look at our text this morning, we're going to talk about who and how. Who prays and how should we pray? But let's pray now and ask the Spirit to be present as we open God's Word together. Let's pray. God in heaven, You have done amazing work in Your Son, Jesus, and we welcome that again this morning. And now we pray that through the ongoing sanctifying work of Your Holy Spirit, this regenerating work, that You'll renew something in us as we devote ourselves now today and for the next several Sundays to this wonderful topic of prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, and open our hearts to this, for we thirst for it. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Invite you to stand for the reading of God's Word this morning. Matthew 6 is part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, which is Matthew 5, 6, and 7. It's all about what life in the kingdom looks like. We're going to just look at the first part of Matthew 6, 5, and 8. The latter part is the actual Lord's Prayer, which we just prayed and mentioned in our confession. But listen to God's instruction to us on who prays and how we should pray. Matthew 6, 5 through 8. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street's corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. This is God's Word. You may be seated once again. I encourage you to keep a Bible open as we make our way through our passage this morning. The passage will be on the screens as well, but this is part of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is teaching His disciples and by extension the church universal. Let me show you what life in the kingdom looks like. And He begins with these words in our text. And when you pray. Not, well, if you pray. But when you pray. There's a lot to love about those words. There's a great invitation in them by which Jesus is saying to the church and to you among them is that Jesus is simply assuring you that here's the life that I invite you into. When you pray. When you pray. Who is the you? Well, I want to talk a little bit about that because before Jesus gets into specifics about what to pray, and we're going to certainly look at that in coming Sundays, He wants us to know that He doesn't have to teach His disciples that they should pray. It's a given. To be a disciple of Jesus is to be somebody who prays. It's a given. Prayer is for every person who is in Christ and genuinely seeks to follow Him. We're going to talk a lot in the next couple Sundays about what we should pray for, and those are important because these are the priorities of Jesus. It's marvelous to think He gives us the priorities that we should pray for. But for now, just who should pray? We should. Those who know Christ. And this is why, at least as I read the passage this morning as well, again, this is why no one, not Jesus and not even the apostles when they go on to give us so much beautiful scripture, nobody questions whether we should be people of prayer. And that's no less true today as it was in the days of Jesus. If We have been saved by grace. And we emphasize that enough here, and we did it already in our service this morning. If we understand the undeserved mercy of the Father, if we know the love of God so deeply in Jesus, this will come from us very naturally. I know it may feel not so natural some days when we are in our own prayer places or prayer closets or prayer walks or praying at 3 a.m. when you can't sleep or whatever it is. It may not feel natural, but it should be. Almost as natural as the air that we breathe. That's what Jesus is saying here in this passage. We just professed a moment ago in the Heidelberg Catechism, why do Christians need to pray? And what we said is that prayer is the most important part of the thankfulness that God requires of us. In other words, this regenerating work of the Holy Spirit in the life of a follower of Jesus, this just happens. It's a natural thing. It's, in fact, it's such a beautiful priority when we think about our walk with Jesus. And God requires of it. We don't pray because God needs help running the universe. We don't pray because God needs our help. We pray because, well, that's what we have to do. We want to do it. It's a natural thing for us to want to communicate with our Father. We pray, as the Catechism says, we pray out of gratitude. And we pray, as it goes on to say, because this relationship matters. And I rehearse this all here this morning simply because in my own prayer life, I need to be reminded of this, that something that feels kind of awkward and hard for me some days is a relational reality. This is a thing that God initiated. He started this. He did this when he restored us in his Son Jesus. And that's why the Catechism goes on to say, we pray because God gives his grace and he gives his Holy Spirit only to those who are praying continually. Now, remember, that's just praying continually. We're not talking about the what yet. We're seeking the relationship. We're praying continually and we're groaning inwardly. I got to tell you, most of my prayer life is that groaning inwardly thing. And here's the Catechism simply saying, this is what God does. He gives because of what he has created. And that's a relationship with him. I mentioned at the start, one of the dangers in preaching about prayer is that's just what we end up doing. We talk about prayer and don't pray. But notice in our passage this morning, Jesus is taking time to talk about what prayer is. And that's not an insignificant thing as you and I are journeying through life together. But the expectation here in the opening words is that we would actually do the work of prayer, that we would be a praying people. And in so doing, find out, as the Catechism says, that God requires of this of me. He wants this from me. He longs for this from me and from us and all of us. Because we're trusting in what he provides and that he does provide. So there's the why of prayer, and I hope, you know, the who of prayer. And just as a reminder, again, I don't want to increase guilt on anybody here, but let it prick our hearts together that we need to be about this. We need to be on this page. Now let's look at our passage. There's some do's and don'ts about prayers. There's two do's and two don'ts. Two do's and two don'ts. We're going to start with a do. And the first do is this. The first, how should we pray, is that we ought to pray by faith. Faith is a do word. Not that people who don't have faith can't pray. I mean, maybe you've heard the saying, there's no such thing as an atheist in a foxhole. The reality is, in the pressures of life, even the most strained from walking with God will say a prayer, and that's fantastic. But here the quality is essential. We pray as a result of faith. That's the do of prayer. You see, until we recognize God as he is, prayer itself will feel quite meaningless. Listen again. Hebrews says, without faith, it is impossible to please God because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists. Faith. And that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Here's the first do about prayer. And it's the call of the gospel to all who need to hear it. If they're not on this page, come to faith in Jesus. And prayer, this relationship thing, happens. Faith is essential. Faith is critical. How much faith do we need to pray? I'm asking that because I'm imagining you're asking that question. How much faith do I need to pray? And I would simply remind us all of what Jesus says in Matthew 17 when he says, the faith the size of a mustard seed will be enough. That's it. I used to have a jar in my office full of mustard seeds. You know, they're tiny little things, right? How much faith do I need? That's it. Just a little bit. As long as it's in Jesus. In the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, Jesus tells us in one of the Beatitudes, really a kingdom principle about all of this. He says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I find that the great other side of the mustard seed comment. Blessed are the poor in spirit. I have nothing, very little to give, O God. But I have you, and that faith is enough. Prayer is not for the super spiritual alone. I'm so glad there are super spiritual people who seem to be walking so close to Jesus. It's almost as if God's light shines physically from them. I'm so grateful for that. But it is not the quantity of faith. It's faith, period. And it's for us. If we have it, prayer happens. That's the first do of prayer. Have faith, embrace Christ, pray. Let's talk about the don'ts. Jesus mentions two of them very clearly in our passage this morning. He says, first of all, don't pray like a hypocrite. Don't pray like a hypocrite. Don't be one. Don't pray in order to get attention. And Jesus says, actually, a few verses prior, if you have your Bible open, you'll see Matthew 6, verse 1. Jesus says, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men, to be seen by them, because if you do, you'll have no reward from your Father in heaven. He's talking about hypocrisy here. The opposite of hypocrisy, by the way, is humility. So there's the positive of this. Don't be a hypocrite. Be humble. What does a hypocrite do? Well, Jesus says very clearly in our passage, they're playing a part but not filling a role. It's to pray without really, now you look at the Lord's Prayer, they don't really want to hallow God's name. They aren't really seeking his kingdom. They're not really asking God for daily bread. They're not doing any of this because the hypocrite is self-sufficient and thinks too highly of themselves. Now, some might say this means we shouldn't pray in public, and that's not what happens here at all. Of course we pray in public, but don't pray like a hypocrite. Don't pray like you're the main actor. Don't pray as if it all is about you. Listen again to these words that we profess in the Heidelberg Catechism. You said them, we said them earlier. We must pray from the heart to no other than the one true God, asking for everything he's commanded us to ask for. How should we pray? Well, not with hypocrisy, but with humility. Because the external act alone of prayer is inadequate. It's not enough. It'll always fall short. In fact, Jesus would so far say, it's atrocious if that's why we're praying, so others can see me pray. I got to tell you, as a pastor, this is a very tricky thing. It's presumed when I enter a room, and somebody's going to say, who's going to pray? Sometimes I'll send it ahead of time. I'm not praying. But for all of us, right, this humility thing is so essential because we got that hypocrite in all of us. I know that. I know it in my own heart, but we got to be careful. Don't play prayer. Don't pretend. Don't do that. Don't pretend to be something you're not, as if you're more holy, more put together, more than you truly are. Jesus is simply saying, come with humility before the Father, because he sees you better than you do. Come with humility. And I'll say the wonderful thing about humility when it comes to prayer, really, it's a beautiful thing. The humbler your heart, the more confident you'll pray. Isn't that the story of Jesus when he has the Pharisee and the tax collector come into the temple to pray, and the Pharisee standing there, oh God, thank you that I'm not like him. I give and do. And what does the tax collector say? Lord, have mercy on me. I am a sinner. That's humility. We got the hypocrite and we got the humble one. And that's the posture. How should we pray? There's the first one. Don't be a hypocrite. Here's a look at the next one that Jesus talks about. And he's talking really here, don't try to manipulate God. In other words, don't make prayer a power play in your life. That's what Jesus means when he talks about the babbling of pagans. The babbling of pagans, because they think they will be heard because of their many words. To put that in contemporary terms, that's what I mean when I say don't try to manipulate God. Don't play that game. In pagan religion, and this has been studied and looked at, but that's how prayer tended to be viewed, because in pagan religion, the gods, however many there were in your heart and life, the gods were neutral toward you. They'd only respond if you got their attention. And so this pagan idea would creep in Christian circles. Right? The only way to get God's attention was to badger him. He wouldn't hear you unless you convinced him to listen to you. You see the problem there? This is almost more dangerous than the hypocrite. Because if prayer becomes a means for you to manipulate God, and I say this, I want to say pastorally, I understand the prayers when we're praying for healing. I understand the prayers when we're praying for freedom from addictions. I understand those prayers. But that's a different category than this. This is a perverse sort of manipulation plan. That if I say the right words, and I say them at the right time, and if I say them in the right posture, or if I'm facing the right way, that God is, he has to listen to me and give me what I want. It's fundamentally ritual without relationship. And that's a dangerous place to live when it comes to prayer. Ritual without relationship. Don't try to manipulate God. Gets back to the humility issue, right? We cannot manipulate him by an excess of words or repetitive mantras or patterns. Don't spam his inbox, okay? Don't spam it. Just come to him. Pray is an opportunity to be in a relationship with him. That's what Jesus is teaching here. Because he has your heart and mind. And he will fill you with his peace. A peace that he alone can provide. So we have one do, which is faith. We have two don'ts so far. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't be a manipulator. And I take that to heart myself when I think about my own prayers. And we need to do that. But let's talk about a final, in the midst of these don'ts, a final beautiful do. And that's really in the last verse of our passage. When Jesus it almost feels like a throwaway comment, but don't let it go by you too quickly. When he says, your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray with confidence. Pray he knows. Pray understanding that what you're saying isn't a surprise to him. He's not sitting up in heaven going, oh yeah, I forgot about that. Thanks for reminding me. No, he knows. He knows exactly what you need ahead of time. And that's a beautiful truth in the Christian life. Just this last week, I was talking with somebody, and we were talking about our prayer lives a little bit, and like the list is longer than my arm some days. And and I don't mean this flippantly, but I'll begin my prayer just saying, well, God, you know all of this already. So let me just praise you. Let me just thank you. Let me just be in your presence for a little while. I know you know all of these needs. And lately in our family system, there's been a lot of extra prayer requests of people we love who are dear to us, who are diagnosed with cancer or dealing with health issues. And boy, that list feels so long. And here's the confidence I have when I pray, God, Jesus told me this. He said, man, you know it all. What a relief. What a relief for me as I call on you and pray to you and all of these things. Let me remind you of what the Catechism said. We professed this earlier. We profess this. We ask on this unshakable foundation. Even though we don't deserve it, God will surely listen to our prayer because of Christ our Lord. That's confidence. I want us all to have that kind of confidence. We need that kind of confidence. We need it because the reality is there's a lot of dark things in our world today, and we're called to be light. And as bearers of the light and sharers of shalom, one of the realities of confidence when I pray is not only that God hears it and knows it, but it's Jesus. I pray it in His name. I mean, on the one hand, maybe it's two sides of this coin of confidence. On the one hand, God knows what I need. On the other hand, I know He hears me when I pray. What a relief. What a blessed, marvelous relief. Because we live in a success-oriented world and a input-output relays kind of world. What are the results? And we kind of think about prayer even that way. But the blessing is knowing. The blessing is knowing that prayer doesn't fit into any of those categories. It doesn't fit neatly into any of that. We pray because we trust the one who is before all things. We pray, we do these things, as Paul says in Romans 8, because He ordains all things for our good, for those who love Him. So let's pray with confidence. I said a moment ago, prayer is really about a relationship. It's a relationship secured through faith in Jesus. One person put it so well this week, just this little line. He said, God is not hard of hearing, and He is not hard of heart. I encourage you to write that down. God is not hard of hearing, and He is not hard of heart. So pray. Pray in faith. Pray in humility. Pray understanding His sovereignty. Pray in confidence. Because there are do's and there are don'ts when it comes to prayer. And I trust the Holy Spirit will plant in our hearts again this week, and now for the next 7 or 8 or 9 weeks, however long this series is, we're going to look at prayer, we're going to talk about the Lord's Prayer, and Lord willing, because the Holy Spirit works this way, we're going to find a new way, a new level, a new chapter of prayer in our lives. Whatever it is, but we're going to simply remember that the expectation could not be clearer. God wants to hear from us. The sovereign one. He wants to hear from us. So speak to Him. Just speak with Him. He already loves us in Jesus. We've made that clear through the gospel of Jesus Christ. So as Hebrews 10 tells us, with confidence, let's approach the throne of grace. In a moment, we're going to sing this hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And these words are almost haunting. When you sing them. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Spend time with Him. Speak with Him. Talk with Him. The rest of the series, we're going to look at what we should pray when we pray, but the who and the how is equally important. Not if we pray, when we pray. If only happens when we don't know the gospel, but when we know the gospel, we pray. In less than 100 words, Jesus gives us the Lord's Prayer. Here are His priorities. You don't only have to pray these words, but these are the content of a prayer that God hears. This prayer never fails, ever. And for many of us, I expect we can probably pray it from heart, straight from memory. Wonderful. But for those who trust in Jesus, everyone who trusts in Him, and that is the faith invitation again, but when we trust in Him, for anyone who does, again, here's a prayer that never, ever fails. May the Holy Spirit grow in us again. Whether we've been praying for a short time or for a very long time in life, may the Holy Spirit guide us in all of this so we pray as we ought, every one of us, because we see the one that we desire. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank You for this wonderful gospel invitation again this morning. For some of us, our hearts have been pricked because, well, that's a dry valley, our prayer life. Hasn't received a lot of attention, nourishment. May that change, because You long to see it change. And for some of us, our prayer life is so strong right now, it's almost electric. And I thank You, God, for those who are prayer warriors in Your kingdom. But for all of us, help us to humbly submit to Your expectation. This is what You expect of us. You long for us to be these kind of people because of faith in Jesus. Help us not to forfeit peace. Help us not to forfeit the opportunity to share our pains and our sorrows with you either. Meet us, O God, in our times of prayer. May they be sweet because of Jesus. And it's in his name we pray this. Amen.